Away we go, back for hour number two on this getaway Friday, December 27th, 2019, the last Friday of 2019. How about that as we head into the big 2020? Now, we thank the amazing Kreskin for being on in hour number one. It's always a lot of fun to visit with Kreskin this time of year and get those New Year's predictions for the year 2020. Hope you enjoyed having him on. Now, there's only one person who can top the amazing Kreskin. And to be honest with you, this person is my favorite guest at this time. Literally, when I go down the street or I'm in the grocery store or anytime I'm out, the question I get asked most often is, when are you going to have this guy on again? He genuinely makes me laugh, and he genuinely makes me here in the studio laugh. And when I say me, I'm talking about the people listening out there. That's what they say to me. He's the only person who can top the amazing Kreskin. He's one of my favorite people. He is soon to celebrate his 93rd New Year's. Just celebrated his 93rd Christmas. And I've got to tell you a little, I'm going to have to bring this in. This is how nice this man is. He called me on Christmas morning, and I wasn't home. I wish I had been. He called me on Christmas morning, and he left me a voicemail singing a Christmas song that you have never heard before, and I have never heard before, but it was hilarious, and I expect nothing less from the funniest man who ever lived, and I truly mean that. Boy, oh boy, buckle your safety belts. What a way to ring out 2019 here than to be joined by one of our favorite people, the legendary Shecky Green. Shecky, happy holidays.
I'm crying right now. Are you kidding? Let me dry my eyes. The weather outside is awful, but the kids are playing with the toyfuls. They're having themselves a time. So let it snow, let it snow. And, you know, that was the greatest time. This is the greatest time for the songs. The songs were always the greatest on Christmas.
You know, somebody said something interesting to me over the holiday season, Shecky. They said that all of our great Christmas carols for the Christian and Catholic faith were written by Jewish people.
By Jewish people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mel Torme and I forget what's, oh my God, his name, that wrote Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire, Jack Frost Nipping at Your Nose. That was the Nat King Cole sang that. And then Bing Crosby sang, you know, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know. Yeah, the Jewish guys wrote all those songs.
The Jewish people of that time must have been brilliant, because these songs have stuck with us for a half century now.
I guess that's true. But everybody, the other people that wrote Christmas songs are brilliant too. There were a lot of other songs that were written, non-Jews wrote.
That's true.
But God being Jewish, I could keep on getting up Christmas morning and trying to make up songs. I am fumbling so bad this morning. Maybe it's because I got up too early.
No, now people have to realize where Shecky is, it's a little after 6 in the morning. That's how good a friend he is to me to get up to do this.
But I'm listening to myself talk, and it sounds like, who is that?
No, you're good. Well, Shecky, we want to know, how was your 93rd Christmas?
My 93rd Christmas, so great. You know why? It came. at least I'm here for the 93rd. I was worried about the 92nd if I was going to make the 93rd. So I said to my wife when I was 92, save the cake. You won't have to make another one. But you know what? Let me tell you. I got to tell you. I wake up in the morning this early, and I try to get rid of different words like hate, jealousy, hunger, pain. You know, and I got rid of all of those words, and I get up refreshed. I take a shower, and then I turn on television. I hear there's a plane crash. I hear guys are lost in a ski. It's terrible, the world.
You know, Shecky, maybe you should watch one of those old movie channels or something. Turn off the news.
But then I'll turn on one with the shooting and the gangsters and the robbing a bank. No. All I got to do, anything that relaxes me is watching the news about Trump.
And what do you make of that? We have an impeachment here.
I really thought it would come along before this, because this was a man that was not prepared. It shouldn't have been a presidential candidate. I mean, he fought with Nordstrom's. Who fought with Nordstrom's and then became our president? Do you know that? Do you know that?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, could you picture fighting with Nordstrom's and you're the top person in the world?
I don't. Maybe Harry Truman got into a tussle with Nordstrom's. I don't know.
No, I don't know. He didn't shop there. Are you kidding? He was a Sears Roebuck man. He bought out of the book. I knew Harry Truman. I met him in Kansas City.
You did?
Yes.
Now, how many people?
I was working at a place called Eddie's, and I used to meet at the Muehlbach Hotel in Kansas City.
Now, I heard that he was kind of an ill-tempered guy. Did you find that?
No, not when I was with him. I mean, it was just lunch, and boom, I mean, all the guys were sitting having lunch, and I just, hello, Mr. Truman, and that was it. You know.
Do you remember what he was having for lunch?
No. No. He's probably having a picture of FDR, because I don't think he met him. FDR didn't even know he was going to be his vice president.
No, I think FDR was a little out of it by that point.
Yeah, but FDR was not close with him. That's the funny part about it. He never prepared him for anything.
No, and I'm not really sure how that all happened back in those days, but I guess that's the way it goes.
Well, Roosevelt thought he was going to be in there until he was dying, but till the day he died. And when I was in the Navy, which is 44, I think, we were in Boston when he was running for election again. It was raining, and they were at the baseball field. And we were still in the Navy, and all of us went to watch Roosevelt go around in a car with the open back with the rain coming down. Oh.
You know what's interesting to me, Shecky? Maybe you can answer this question, because we're headed into 2020. First of all, being 93 years old, soon to be 94 in just about 4 months, did you ever think you'd make it to 2020?
I never. You want to know something? I never. I still got a calendar from 1936. You know something? When I was a kid, I never thought I'd. When I was like 6 years old, and that was like during the Depression and everything else, and we didn't have food on the table, and my father was out of a job. You know, my father was vice president of a company once, and then boom, he was out of a job. And then all of a sudden, everything started to change. I always thought I'd be going, the next year I'd die. The next year I'd die. You know, and from that fear, kids don't, you know, you don't develop. You don't say, well, I'll work and I'll do this and I'll. I was waiting all the time. But then now I look back, my God, I missed a lot of things. I didn't read a lot of good books I should have read because I never thought I'd finish them, you know.
Well, you still have time, Shecky. I think you're going to be around for a while.
Not if you had my doctor. Are you kidding? My doctor didn't go to medical school. He went to medical high school and quit.
When you go and see a doctor at 93 years of age, almost 94, what does he have to say to you?
Well, I got to wait a lot because there's other 95s and 96s sitting around the office. There's just people just sitting. They all got their heads down, and I come in singing, "Everybody's going to be okay. We're all having fun today. Everybody sing a little song." Okay. And I get the people to pick up their head. I start to sing, and they say, "Throw them out." But what happens is, as we're all sitting around, the nurse comes out and says, "Next." We all get up. We all got the name next. Nobody's got a name. Next, and 10 people get up.
Well, Shecky, we don't want to get too personal at 93 years of age, but what is your current health? What's the state?
I had an operation and a broken leg, and from the broken leg, I had a prosthesis in my hip. They didn't fix that. So the leg is fixed, but the hip is still broken, and they got to go in and operate on that. And they want to operate March 4th. Now, March 4th, I will be a month away from 94. I am not going in for an operation March 4th, you know, because I'm just afraid April 4th I'll be gone.
Now, what's the other options here if you don't go in for the operation?
I'll tell you, here's what the other option is. Oh, it hurts. That's the other option.
Well, those don't sound like great options, Shecky.
I went to the doctor. He was the wrong one. He just operated me just to have fun. He'll go.
Well, you know, here's the thing, Shecky. This is what I've learned about you over the years. You have a tremendous energy and a tremendous zest for life. Where did that come from? Were your parents like that?
My dad and mother were there. My mother worked until she was finally couldn't work anymore. And my dad would run the horses. So I think that zest for going to the horses. You want to get to the finish line before they do, but you don't.
So March 4th, you don't think you're going to go in for this hip surgery?
No, I really don't. First of all, I'm not too fond of the doctor. That's number one. And number two, my heart doctor. We're still waiting for my heart doctor to tell me yes or no.
Now, what's wrong with your hip, doctor? What don't you like about him?
No, well, my hip is a bone man, and after they did my leg and everything, I thought everything was done. They said no, now we got to go back and do the hip. Well, that's very discouraging when you find out that you went through that big operation. Now you got to go through another one.
Now, at this point, how well are you getting around?
I'm with a walker. And if he doesn't walk fast enough, I bump into him. I'm in one of those walkers that you push.
Now, are you still driving?
Yes. Sure, I'm too banged up to walk. But I do open the window and you look out.
Are you still going to the grocery store every morning?
I go to the and sing at Smith's. Yeah. Hello, everybody. Let's order some milk. Let's get a pound of butter. Let's have fun. Okay. At 93, I want everybody to know you go a little nuts. It starts about 91.
Now, when you go into the grocery store, do the checkers, do they know who you are?
Some of them do, yeah. Then I hear them say, "Here he comes again. you take this one." Tell them you got to go check it out, and then don't come back.
Oh, gosh. What kind of things do you buy at the grocery store, Shecky?
I just go and I get maybe a quart of milk or some. I'm off the bread because I gained too much weight. The heart doctor's really worried about that. I go to a heart doctor that speaks Spanish, so I really don't know what I got. You know when you go to a doctor and he says, "Si cuando la dona me la teste, ubora el mundo, come back Monday."
That's trouble.
Well, it's good, though, because you never know what you got, so you don't have anything.
So you gained some weight recently.
Oh, I was on that those bagels and lox in the morning. Now, you know, bagels.
Yeah, bagel. Now, how much weight did you gain?
I gained about 20 pounds when I got out of the hospital.
Wow.
After the leg.
So have you taken the 20 pounds off?
Well, I'm taking it little by little. I was going to go on a diet. What's her name? Marie Osmond?
Oh, yes. Weight Watchers.
Yeah, I was on that diet, and I started to look like her for a while, so... Take a look at Marie Osmond's new commercials. She looks like she gained some weight back.
Oh, poor Marie. Oh, Shecky in 19...
Poor Marie, I'd like to be making the money poor Marie is making. Way, Marie, way, should be the song for that commercial. Way, Marie, here's a dime, go way, Marie. She lost 50 pounds, she said. Okay.
Now, Shecky, you said your family came in for Christmas. So what did you guys do together?
Well, my daughter did, my one daughter, my youngest daughter. And just having her walk through the door, and she brought her little dog. She's got a pug. She raised 5 pugs.
It's a beautiful thing. So did you get any good Christmas gifts?
No, we don't exchange gifts. Because by 93, if you don't have everything that you need by 93, yeah, you better go. I mean, I open up a drawer and it pops out at me.
Did you put up a lot of decorations this year?
No, generally my wife will put up a Christmas tree. She put up little things around because she's very Catholic. You know.
Now, do you like to stare at the Christmas tree?
Do I like to stare at the Christmas tree?
Yeah.
I think I stared at enough Christmas trees. I think one of the greatest thrills was me going down at Radio City Music Hall and see them put up a Christmas tree. My wife and I stood there, and the people were all around, and they were singing. That was thrilling.
You know, I was thinking about this, Shecky. Do you have a lot of showbiz memorabilia around your house?
No, but I'm looking. I'm talking to you. I'm looking at one box that's loaded with pictures of people that I work with. And right on top is one picture from the very first job that I had. And I didn't realize it. It's from a place called the Cuban Village in Chicago.
Now, what was that like going up on stage at the Cuban Village?
Well, I thought I'd never go on another stage. I got to tell you, one of the greatest stories about the Cuban Village was owned by Hoodlums. Was owned by the mob in Chicago. So I never had an act. So I put on a little knit cap, and I came out and I went, "Hey, Giuseppe, don't, my monkey, these are my monkey, Giuseppe, don't run in the street, Giuseppe, hey, Giuseppe." He got hit by a car. I said, "Giuseppe, you got to run over." And then I'm crying, "Giuseppe." And I looked around, and all the hoodlums are sitting in the front crying. "Take a look, he killed a monkey." So they said to me, "Hey, we're bringing our wife in the mouth. Do that thing where you kill the monkey." I take an oath that's a true story.
Oh,
hey, you know what I mean? Hey, the guy looked the way you killed the monkey.
The Cuban... Now, how much organized crime did you work for in Chicago?
Oh, I worked for the biggest. Are you kidding? It's Sam Chiacana. He was the big... He was one of my... I didn't know it for the first 5 years that he was my, my godfather. You know, when the other guys wanted to fire me and everything else, he stepped in. I never knew it.
Now, how did you get in tight with Sam Giancana?
I have no idea. It's just something I did that he liked. But then even he carried it over to New York when I worked at Copacabana. I was terrible at the Copacabana. And I was drinking in those days. And they wanted to fire me. And Sam got in touch with Frank Costello. And they said, "You can't fire him." I didn't find that out till later. Now, Frank Costello was the big one in New York. Sam was the big one in Chicago.
Now, was the Copacabana the place to be?
Not for me, it wasn't. No, I was an opening act, and in those days, I wasn't an opening act. I went in with Nat King Cole, and I was his opening act, and I never had an act, and I never was. I should have never been with Nat King Cole there, because that was a terrible place.
Now,
the guy that owned it was a complete moron.
Now, what kind of guy was Nat King Cole?
The best. There was a boy, a very strange enchanted boy. They say he wandered very far. Yeah, he was the best. He was the best.
Now, did you have a favorite person that you opened up for?
No, I didn't. I didn't open up for that many people. I had a very strange career. Nat King Cole and Southern in Chicago. She kept on yelling, "Get that Jew off the stage!" You know, true story. But Saturday night we had to do 3 shows, and I just went on because I was wrong, she was right. But I kept on going, and she kept on yelling, "Get that Jew off the stage!" And I said to the audience, "Do you hear what that?" And Southern was a big star. "Do you hear what she's yelling?" You know. And then the audience yelled, "Yeah, Jew, get off the stage!"
So Ann Southern had a little bit of a temper.
Yeah, well, she was a big star. I mean, I should have done what I did. I was wrong. I mean, she and I became very, very close friends. I even wrote a little song for her in the act. But, yeah, I should have done what I didn't know who I was, what I was. That's why I wasn't an opening act, I tell you. You know, I never had an act to go out A, B, C, D. I would go out, and if it was good, it was good that day. If it was bad, it was bad that night.
Now, what was the best place to play? What was your favorite?
I think the lounges in Vegas. Firstly, the place in New Orleans. I had a little club in New Orleans, and I had Al Hurt was my orchestra leader, and I really started my career in that place. After all the jobs I had, that's really the place where I started. And after that, I went to Vegas, and I worked as an opening act for Dorothy Shay. You never heard of Dorothy Shay?
No, I haven't.
No, because I made up the name. How would you hear? No. Dorothy Shay was what they called her, the Park Avenue Hillbilly. She was a country western singer. And she was very popular. She had a song called "My Kissing Cousin," that's my brother. My brother. It's where the whole family were related. A big song, so big I forgot it. And she was the closing act, I should say. And they held me over in Vegas, and they held me over for Patty Andrews, who was working alone with her 2 sisters. That was the Andrews sisters. Then they held me over again for Xavier Coolgard. So it was the first act ever to be held over. Never had an act. I never knew what the hell I was doing. And that was the excitement of what I did. Go see this guy. You don't know what he's going to do. What did he do last night? He wasn't there. He quit.
Now, I love the story about you working or being around the legendary gossip columnist, Walter Winchell.
Oh, he used to put me in a car with him. "Chucky, Mr. Douglas Ship said, we're going to go see a 310. "A what? A 310. "What's a 310? "You'll see what a 310 is. I heard 2 shots. Bing, bing. There was a 3. Bing, bing. That's a 10. He would go in the police cars and go, he had a pension of finding out what was going on.
Now, did you ever end up in a Walter Winchell column?
Not Walter Winchell, Earl Wilson. Maybe a Walter Winchell could have had me, but that's so long ago. I do remember the 310s.
You do remember. Now, weren't there some other gossip columnists around, like Hedda Hopper and Dorothy?
No, I don't. That was the That was Hollywood. That was, I was Maurice. But I had no write-ups in Earl Wilson. They were not too too exciting, too complimentary. I didn't care because I wasn't never going to stay in the business. From year to year, I never wanted this business.
What did you think you would do?
I have no idea. I kept telling people I was going back to school, you know, but when you get to be 93, you don't go back to school anymore. You know, you don't have the strength to carry the books. Say, mister over there, could you come over here and carry these two books? What's in them? My lunch.
Now, Shecky, in 2019, we heard that you had a dinner at one point about having a street named for you in Las Vegas.
Oh, they're still going on with that. Now they got a new governor, Cisco's, whatever his name is, and they went to the governor because I met him with his two daughters, and they said they're going to put it. I don't want it. I want an alley. I don't want a street. Everybody else got a street. Name an alley after me.
You'd rather have the alley.
I have an alley because I'll tell you what, I got to be very honest. I lived here and I made a wonderful living, but I don't like the town at all. It's outgrown itself. They brought in a professional hockey team, and they're going to bring in, eventually they'll bring in a baseball team. You know, they got the hockey team. They got the football team coming in.
Now, how did it come that you ended up living in Las Vegas?
Well, I mean, I worked there 20 weeks, 20, 30 weeks a year when I was in the lounges. I worked there. Prima and I really started the lounges. Louis Prima was in it first, and then I went in and brought comics in to the lounges. So I had to live there. Where else was I going to live? But then I had a place in Beverly Hills, too, because I was married to a girl at that time. I liked the idea of meeting celebrities.
Now, when you lived in Beverly Hills, who did you run into?
With my car?
Well, there must have been a lot of famous people there in those days.
Oh, no, I know a lot of them. Yeah, because we hung out in the same... we'd go to the delicatessen.
Who hung out at the delicatessen in those days?
Who hung out?
Yeah, who hung out there?
Oh, everybody. that was a very famous delicatessen.
You know, since we've spoken last, Larry King is back on television now, and he admitted he had a stroke. That's why he was off television.
Well, he's also off. He gave someone else a stroke, too, his wife. He divorced her.
I know. She's quite a bit younger than he is.
Oh, yeah. That was not a marriage made in heaven. No, that was a big mistake. But he had a couple of kids out of it. He'd been married 7, 8 times. He should learn to get it right.
You're not a big fan of Larry King.
You know what? We talk, but I know inside he doesn't like me because he told me I was terrible. He never saw me work. He says, you're terrible on TV. You know, I got some shows that I did on TV that are great and some that were bad. But anyway, but you don't tell a guy that you stink, you know?
You would think not.
No, I mean, especially if you're palling around with him at a racetrack and stuff. But people that bet horses are nuts anyway.
Well, I still don't understand the story about him pushing you out of the way of the window at the racetrack.
Oh, I was the only one standing by. He came running over. He was going to throw me up, and I grabbed him. And he to his day, believe when I tell you, he's lucky that I wasn't set, you know. And I just took him around, but he was very lucky. He thinks he was a stark. When Jewish, we call a starker. That's a guy. That's a big, strong guy. But he's not really a starker.
Now, for those of us who haven't met Larry King in person, what does he look like in person? Is he...
Harold Lloyd. You don't remember what Harold Lloyd looked like.
Oh, but that doesn't sound very good.
Well, Harold Lloyd was a comic actor, and he did all kinds of things. He climbed sides of buildings. he did all kinds of strange things for comedy. Walking against tight ropes without a rope under him, you know. But he looked just like Harold Lloyd. Maybe he thought he was Harold Lloyd.
Did he look a little bit like Ed Sullivan? They both have that hunched over kind of thing.
No, Lady Leonard's show is Larry's not only a commentator, he's a hitter. Right here on our show, he's going to run right out here and get Chicky Green. Chicky.
Oh, goodness.
Hey, Ed, can't you say Chicky? Chicky. Not Chicky, Chicky. Chucky.
Oh, man. As we head into the new year, Chicky, do you have any New Year's resolutions?
I want everything in this world to get quieted down. I want people to love each other. I want to stop with this country hating this country and this one hating that country. And that we're impeaching. We're not impeaching. You know, he don't look like a peach to me. Oh, yellow-haired press, what are you going to do? You're messing up everything all the people knew. You got 1 year, no more to go. You better save it, President, or you dough. You're going to be impeached, and it's plain to see. They're going to vote you out, and that's how it's going to be. What I'm going to tell, okay.
Well, I don't. Do you think he'll be voted out?
I, you know what? They're very confused right now. It's McConnell. This no chin, Malagata Fajad. I can't stand him worse than Trump. I well, you know what they're going to do? They're going to get, when he gets out, they're going to buy him a chin.
He does kind of look like a pelican.
Oh, good. He's it. And they have, well, I don't know what strength they have, each one. First, she's strong, then he's strong. Then they're strong.
Now, what do you make of Nancy Pelosi?
Well, I happen to be on her side. So she's, you know, I think she's great. Probably if I was on the other side, I'd say that. But I happen to be a Pelosi fan.
You know, I was just thinking, Chicky, as we head into the new year, there have been many people who ring in the new year. The original was Guy Lombardo. Now, did you know Guy Lombardo?
Yes, I knew Guy Lombardo. I knew his brother was saying, yes. And Guy Lombardo. And my father-in-law played in that era. My father-in-law was a very famous saxophone player.
Now,
Vito Musso.
Now, didn't Guy Lombardo, what hotel, was he in the Waldorf Astoria?
No, not the Waldorf, but another famous hotel.
Now, did you ever go there for New Year's when you were in New York?
No. I was really, near the end, I worked all New Year's and never knew the song. All those years, you know, may old acquaintance be, I never knew the whole song. I swear to God, I used to bring people up because I'd forget the song. May old acquaintance be forgiven. Sir, could you come up here, sir? Hey, okay. May old acquaintance be forgot.
He did that for many, many. And then we got Dick Clark. Now, did you know Dick Clark well?
Dick Clark, well, I didn't know him well, but I knew his wife well. His wife worked for Merv Griffin. She was the secretary of Merv Griffin, and I went with one of the little girls, Betty, with Merv Griffin. So I knew his wife. And on a New Year's Eve, my wife and I were in New York, and we went, and there was Dick Clark and his wife. And I wished everybody a happy New Year, and I kissed her, and he got so mad. He got crazy, like I was rape.
Really? Dick Clark got crazy?
Dick Clark. I was number two on that. What do you call it? With the songs?
Oh, the charts.
It was on the chart. I was number two that day.
I can't believe Dick Clark got angry.
Angry? He got angry. He really, I said to my wife, he really got mad. You know, and I kissed her. I kissed her many times before that when she wasn't married to Dick Clark.
So he was a bit of a jealous man.
I think so. She was a very sweet, cute, and very smart, lovely lady. Lovely, wonderful lady.
And now,
he was Dick Clark. Listen, everybody loved Dick Clark.
Yeah, everybody seemed to like him. Now he's gone,
yeah. And
we got Ryan Seacrest.
Ryan Seacrest is the new Dick Clark?
I think he's the new Dick Clark on New Year's Eve.
Well, find out if he's got a wife. I'll go and kiss her and see what kind of personality he's got.
Oh, man. See if we can figure it out.
Ryan Seacrest. Ryan Seacrest, are you married to a girl? Are you da-da-da-da-da-da? Are you any other kind in this world? Ryan is, yes. Whatever.
Now, will you be staying up on New Year's Eve to watch the ball drop?
I got a joke right there. Can I tell you something? But I could never do it. To watch the ball drop. Yeah, at 93. No, you don't want me to do that joke.
Oh, boy. Draw your own conclusion.
Give people my telephone number. I'll call and tell them the end of that joke. I love you, Marion, Ohio. I love you all over that place. And Ohio's going to win New Year's Eve. They're going to win that face-to-face. They're going to beat that other team, although they're out by many a point. May I tell you something? They're going to run right out of the joint.
Now, so do they do anything out there in Las Vegas special on New Year's Eve?
Yeah, a lot of people get arrested, and a lot of people get drunk, and... something that doesn't interest me going on that strip and that excitement anymore. It's always nice to have just a few friends and, in the old days we used to have a bottle of booze or something, and when it was over, New Year's Eve was over. But I stopped drinking 50-some years ago.
So do you have any of the traditional foods like the pork and the sauerkraut or the black-eyed peas?
Oh, no, that's not pork. Did you name the right one? I just told you, Jew, and you said pork? Would you do that to me?
Well, I thought maybe a special occasion for New Year's.
Chicken.
So, chicken and sauerkraut.
Turkey.
Turkey and sauerkraut.
Sauerkraut is German. Und the ready in Germany. Und the ready we have that in Germany. Was geschrieben auf den Raum der Sauerkraut.
Well,
that's a German talking while he's swimming. Now, how are you? All right.
You know, sauerkraut is a probiotic.
It is.
It is.
Well, are you on a health kick?
No, I just, you know, for the New Year's, it'll clean you out pretty good.
I'll be damned.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell the toilet, I'll be in there. I'll be in there in a couple of minutes to eat some sauerkraut. Okay.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Listen, I miss everybody that's gone. Kay Barrett is gone. The people one at a time. What's it, Herman, the guy that wrote all that song, Mame and everything. He's gone. He just died. It's very sad.
But you go on like the tides.
Life died. You flow through the rain. Okay. Geez, I'm getting good now. Let's start the program over again.
Well, you know, I was thinking about Kay Ballard because at the end of the year we do a special program here of people who've passed away in the last year who've been on this show, like Catherine Helmond and Kay Ballard and a lot of other people. And I was thinking about Kay because Kay was on a lot. And every time I think of Kay Ballard, I can't help but think of that woman who used to live with her. I wonder how she's doing.
See, you know something? I tried to call her the other day. That's funny. Yeah. She got a strange name. Look at the way I forgot her name, but I know her very well.
She was a British woman.
I think she's still living at the house.
She was. Who was she? She was a British woman.
Yeah, she found a strays, Kay. You know, in show business, we find strays. We don't know how they come to us. There's a guy right now that's following me around by the name of Fergie. I don't know how I got him. Did you want me to go make the bet? And I turn around, there's Fergie. You know, well, I can't walk to. I said, yeah, Fergie, go ahead. So Fergie became my lunch partner. I'm going to come to him and ask Fergie his second name.
Now, when you are a star like that, do you have a lot of hangers-on?
But all losers. Can I tell you something? When you become, you make a certain amount of money, they send you a book, and it's called Losers. Then you look up and you pick out a name that excites you. It's just like when everybody wants to become president because of the little black book. It's not because they want to rule, you know, they want to be president of the country. That little black book that everybody, Kennedy had, who else, with the sex. Everybody with Trump, Kennedy,
they all
fight over that little black book.
Clinton got around.
Oh, could we forget about him? And he picked out the ugly ones, too. Jeez.
Now,
would it be something if we vote for them and we let them also have pictures of their girlfriends and we pick one out for them?
You know, Shecky, this is interesting. I don't think we've ever talked about this. Did you ever have a strange fan encounter? Was there ever a bad one?
Well, it's very strange that you should say. I don't know whether we ever talked about this. I got a call one day, and somebody says, the police are going to come up to your room. So the police came up to my suite, and they started banging on the door. And I opened the door, and I grabbed my arms, and they put it behind me. You're under arrest. And I said, under arrest? What? You did that. I did what? What did I do? Now, in the bedroom was sleeping a French girl that I went with for a year or so, Regine, a very lovely lady. I says, wait a minute, I watched it last night, you did this. I was here. And she came out, and she said to them, let him go. Je l'ai rajouté pèlerade. Aimé de Belleron, c'était toi. Meaning that I was with her, which I had translated. Anyway, they showed me a letter, and it's of a woman in a picture, dressed in a nun's habit, and she was at the hotel downtown, and she was all wrapped up, and stripped up, and she was all taped up, and she was in a comatose state, and they said that I did it to her, because the letter said, I am in a comatose state, and the only voice that can get me out of this is Shecky Green. I never told you this story?
No, that's strange.
Oh. Well, this is a true story, so I want you to know that. So now they said to me, you did this to the wife. What are you talking about? Are you crazy? And one cop really wanted to get me. The other was a little leery. So I said, where is she? She's over at the hospital. So I go to Southern Memorial Hospital, and there's a woman lying there. And when I look at her, and she's completely out of it, you know. And I'm talking to her and talking to her, talking to her. Nothing. Now the psychiatrist comes in, and the psychiatrist said, I did it. Now, the psychiatrist said that, and all the help is looking through the door saying, you dirty ratchet, what did you do to that woman? Me. And the Frenchman is still yelling, she took a blah, man, she was ordering a sandwich and nobody knew it. Anyway.
Now,
I go the next afternoon and I go again and I talk to the woman. So now I call up and I say, where's that woman? Well, you know, the cops, by that time they were a little figuring. So I go down, and they're putting her in an ambulance to take her to Sparks, Nevada, which is the insane asylum. I said, you can't do that. I grabbed her, and I start talking to her. I says, do you know Shecky Green? She shook her head. I said, you want to kiss Shecky Green? She shook her head. I kissed her, and I said, you love Shecky Green? Now, this sounds like bullcrap, but I'm telling you the truth. Yeah, so I hugged her, and I said, you can't do this. Now I start to talk to her a little bit, and I found out she's got a sister in Albuquerque. I call up Albuquerque, I got the sister, and she had disappeared. They found her car at the airport, and she had disappeared. And somebody did that to her and put her in that hotel. I found out she had a husband she was breaking up with and the two kids. They got in touch with them, and that I never heard again as long as I lived, up to 93.
My goodness. And what we don't know about that is the fun fact of that is that was Dick Clark's wife. You were putting the move on her again.
Yeah, you this sounds like a joke, but I'm going to tell you. I called up many times because somebody wanted to write a book about with me and everything. And I says, find out from the cops if they got a record of that, you know?
That's an amazing story.
It's an amazing story and a true story.
That reminds me of the time, because we lost Sammy Shore this year, about the time you got sick at the Wellington Hotel.
Oh, God, he wouldn't come in. Do you remember that? He wouldn't. I said, Sammy, I'm very sick. Could you bring me water? No, Sheldon, I won't come. No, I can't come in there. I caught scarlet fever from somebody. I says, you can pick out any color you want. Just come in and give me some water. I had to call down to the desk clerk and pay him $2 to bring me water.
Shecky,
come to think of it, the guy gave me a call now that I think about it.
He did? Well, there you go. Did you ever find out what you had?
Infectious mononucleosis.
Oh, you had mono.
Mono. I had mono.
How did you get that?
I don't know. I sang it. Infectious mononucleosis, supercalifragilistic one. And you say, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I don't know. You pick up. I had it a couple of times.
That's an infectious disease. That's bad.
Yeah, I was lucky.
Hopefully you don't get it at 93.
Well, I didn't want to get it while I was with Sammy. That was the end of Sammy. but I miss Sammy's gone, and I poor Sammy.
Now, Shecky, as we get to wrap up this New Year's program here, do you have a song for 2020 that you'd like to share with people?
I love this world and plain to see that everyone's been good to me. And I want to tell you that I'm going on 94. I've finished 93. But I want everybody to be happy and everybody good and here. Everybody live a life of happiness and cheer. I want to sing to everyone, and this is a fact. I want to love you. Man, I want to come back to see. Oh, but I don't know where I'm going now.
Well, Shecky Green, I'm sure everybody is so happy that you're on this morning. I'm happy that you were on this morning. You are the funniest man alive, and we're going to be doing this 2021, 2022, 2023. We've got many years to go. I'm sure of it, Shecky.
God bless you all, my friends. A very, very, very happy New Year. And God bless you, sir, for being so nice and calling me all the time. I wait for this call. I'm in a room that's all locked up, and it's got bars on it, and I wait for this one call.
Stay well, Shecky. We're going to talk again soon.
Goodbye, Mike.
Bye-bye. The legendary Shecky Green. You can't go wrong there. Charlie Evers coming up in 10 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
It was me to do the first interview.
Well, because you've been very kind, very fair, you don't jump in and attack me every time I open my mouth. I like that. I think you're a fair group.
Streaming.